Welcome to the Beauty Biohacks series, where I invite health and beauty experts to talk about optimizing your health, beauty, and well-being with the help of the latest science, nutrition, technologies, and data-driven self-experiments. I'm Irina Kremin, and I'm the founder of Inacos Beauty Network, professional connector and turned biohacker. Now, back to episode.
Yeah. So we are here with Dr. Jovanovic from New York, who recently presented at our conference in Ocean San Diego. Actually, he was in opening presentations. And I have to tell you, like everyone I'm talking with, everybody mentioning your speech. Your speech, I think, was one of the most memorable presentations. And on the request of many of our attendees, we have decided to record it right now so that it will be available for the larger audience. So thank you very much for taking your time from your practice. Since it's 7:30 in the morning and you still have your day job, which you start at 8 a.m. And really appreciate it. And let's get into it. We will be speaking about bioidentical hormones and peptides for health and beauty as a kickstart for our beauty for biohacking theme of the conference.
So. Well, first of all, thank you so much for the invitation to the show. It was an amazing show. I met some amazing people. I mean, these are the top of the beauty industry, innovators, entrepreneurs, master estheticians. It was an amazing opportunity for me too. So thank you so much for having me. And thank you for the opportunity to sort of show what we do, which is basically from within, we're bringing beauty. And during the show, I was talking about, hey, how many people in this room have actually ever tried hormones or been on peptides? And it was actually interesting. Less than 10% of the room had really been on hormones, and actually more people had been on peptides. So it's a little different than other groups that I've given the talk to, but really amazing group. Thank you so much for the opportunity. But hopefully I'm going to just educate a little bit about what we do medically from within and how that may impact the beauty industry in the next 5 or 7 years. So we talk about beauty is a physical attractiveness or appearance on the outside. When I'm talking about hormones and peptides, I'm talking about restoring what age has changed. And the beauty parts of this is that most people don't want to look like somebody else. Most people want to look like what they used to look like. So if you talk about appearances on the outside, most people are like, oh, wait, you know, I used to have this skin, or I used to have these cheeks, or whatever the complaint is, they're really saying my hormones are changing and my insides are not the same as they once were. So we're going to get into these different treatments that we're doing now that are bioidentical, safe, FDA approved, and that can actually change your body and restore your health. And then beauty comes from within. So the first one we're going to talk about is bioidentical hormones. So what does this mean? It means when you put it in your body thinks it's the same as your body. It doesn't understand it to be different. It's not like synthetic or controlling hormones, which controlling hormones, for example, birth control, we on purpose try to control so you don't get pregnant. This is your levels are here. We measure blood and we restore not to someone else, but back to what you had in your 20s. Why do we talk about the differences between hormones? Because apples and apples, orange and orange, not all hormones are the same. And the last part is we individualize it to the patient. So we actually draw blood. We do the hormones, we see how the patient does, we can adjust. Other medicines, like for example, cholesterol medicines, there's three kinds of Lipitor, small, medium, and large. And you basically have to stick with whatever works. With this, we can fine tune to the patient, and every patient's different in how their body responds to the hormones. So why do we talk about hormones? Because believe it or not, most of what people feel as they go through life are hormonal. So fatigue, mood swings, anxiety, tension, sleep, memory loss, lack of focus, brain fog, those all start to creep in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Then depression, hot flashes, night sweats, those are more dramatic in the 50s and 60s. Weight gain, joint pain, migraines, bladder symptoms, and then sex. the both sexes have sort of a similar thing. But first we talk about women because menopause is a dramatic time. Like all of a sudden, everybody feels this. Actually, 3,500 women enter menopause daily in the US. And the problem is the symptoms are not just like a one stop, 1 week, 1 month, but they can be for years before your actual period stops, which is menopause. And they could be for years after. Headaches, teeth, hot flashes, weight gain, uterus changes, bone changes, bladder changes, breast changes. These are all what most women will have at some degree at some point in their life. But believe it or not, same thing happens in men, just more subtle. So men have this andropause where after 25, testosterone starts going down and women men start to see these different symptoms. They start getting the brain fog, the fatigue, the heart disease, get breast tissue, central obesity, loss of muscle, and sexual issues with the prostate and erectile dysfunction. So actually both sexes share some symptoms where they have mood swings, depression, headaches, night sweats, insomnia, weight gain. But then there's individual on both sides. Women have the hot flashes, the nausea, the forgetfulness, irregular periods, vaginal dryness, and pain. And men have the lack of focus, low energy, low motivation, muscle loss, and then the sexual side effects. So both sexes are affected by this low hormone. So we just get into, okay, this idea that hormones are bad for you. I mean, where did this all come from? It comes from, I'll show you, a study done in 2002 on horse urine, which said that Premarin causes breast cancer. And overnight, everybody's like, oh, hormones cause cancer. But if you talk about, well, what's important medically, it's not cancer. So I asked the group when we were there in San Diego, and everybody got this right, which was amazing, is the number one cause of death, which was 1 in 20 in the 1940s, and now is 1 in 8, is, of course, heart disease. So heart disease is the number one cause of death in women. It's 1 in 7 in premenopause, but then after your hormones go away, it rises to 1 in 3. So if you're talking about what should you really be worried about, yes, I'm not saying don't worry about cancer, but heart disease is way more common than cancer. And people are not addressing the actual reason that things are changing. It's because your hormones are changing. And once the hormones lower, heart disease comes in. So estrogen actually protects. There's a lot of data on heart health and estrogen, and it's not new. It's at least 30, 40, 50 years of data that the estrogen is actually good for the heart. It shows between 35 and 50% reduction of heart disease. It shows that estrogen prevents hip fracture, prevents colon cancer, prevents Alzheimer's, and tooth and bone loss. So these are all things that estrogen we know is good. And then this controversial study came in and somehow blew this all up. But we are not ever debating that estrogen is good for these things. The debate is then, okay, well, what's the harm in taking estrogen? And that's where it comes into the differences between hormones. So you ever walk into the kitchen and you say to yourself, hey, wait a second, why am I in the kitchen? Or you can't remember where you put your keys. The brain fog is real. It's very hard to study. So when they study people who have 40s, 50s, they can only really study dementia. They can't really study, oh, I can't remember where my keys are. But everybody who's on hormones will tell you, yeah, you know, I just am not able to multitask like I could. I can't focus as well as I could. And then they go on hormones and like, wow, this is me. I can actually be productive. I can actually get stuff done. I can actually be more successful at work like I used to do. And so actually hormones do lower this. Women get Alzheimer's way more than men, 8 to 1. And estrogen deficiency increases the chances of getting Alzheimer's. But the same story in men. When men have low testosterone, they're 3 times more likely to get Alzheimer's disease. So the hormonal changes on the brain are also not really in question. It's just a question of, like I said, the safety of it. So that's where we get into apples and oranges. So just because you say the word estrogen doesn't mean that the product that you're taking is the kind of estrogen that causes cancer. Just because you say testosterone, it's not the same product that like bodybuilders use and end up getting sick. There is synthetic, like I was saying, controlling, bioidentical. there is way you deliver it, creams, pills, all of these different things make a huge difference to the safety profile. So this is just an example of that. This is studies done in postmenopausal women where they took synthetic, like controlling testosterone, and increased their risk of breast cancer. But bioidentical hormones actually decrease the risk of breast cancer. So you have the same exact word, hormone, estrogen, testosterone, but the compounds are completely different and you got completely different results. And that's why you can't just simply Google, hey, is estrogen bad for me? You have to really know what kind of hormone is given. So this was the Nurses Health Study in 1995. It was a huge 120,000 women found that the horse urine that I was talking about increased your risk of breast cancer. But then when you put it with testosterone, there was no increased risk of breast cancer. So even in the same studies using the same things, it depends what they put together. So the last thing that we talk about is, okay, so, you know, I went to my doctor, I measured my levels, Kevin, my doctor says I'm fine. Who wants to be fine? I'm 49. I don't want to feel like 49. Just because your levels in your blood are normal for your age doesn't mean they're optimal. And this is the quote from Maya Angelou that I love. If you're always trying to be normal, you'll never know how amazing you can be. And people say that all the time to me. They say once they go on hormones, I had no idea that I was feeling so poor until I started to feel better. So that's what we talk about is after 25, both sexes, the hormones drop. So your levels are going down naturally. We're going to raise them up to what you once had, not turn you into somebody else, but restore. And actually, this is good for you. So when we restore, it doesn't, people call it anti-aging. I mean, of course, you're still aging, but rather it protects. It protects the prostate. It protects the breast. It protects your heart, especially bone. And it makes a big difference both for how you feel, but the best part about it is not just feel good, pay for it later, but actually feel good and protect and be healthier. So the products that you use, you could take a pill. It goes to the liver changes it. It's called the first pass effect. So that causes clots and cancer. Creams, sometimes you get too much, sometimes you get too little, but we put it in a little grain of rice and put it under the skin. It dissolves. It becomes part of you. We're not doing that because we like sticking things under the skin, but it's the safest and best way to give the hormone. It's bioidentical. It's constantly available. Depending on the product, it lasts 3 to 6 months. It's the most highly studied form of bioidentical hormones. It's hassle-free, and it just makes life easier and a safer way to deliver. Because other products like creams and patches, first of all, how do you know how much cream to give? I have a colleague, I saw him a year ago, now I saw him and he's like huge. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I got this testosterone cream. I'm like, so how much are you using? Where are you putting it? He's like, if I have skin, I'm putting it everywhere. So that's not a healthy way of doing it either. Plus, it's super dangerous. If you put it on your skin and someone touches you, your animal, your child, you can give it to them. And that's very dangerous for them. Also, the skin is a good barrier. So it's actually really hard to get through the skin. Plus, the last thing is I have super sensitive skin. As you know, lots of different people can have reactions to the glues, can have reactions to the patches, can have reactions to actual creams. And then you're not really even able to use the product. Then there's injections. So this is mostly on the male side. Men said, well, I don't want to put something under my skin that I can't control, or I, you know, put it there and I have no idea how I'm going to feel. I'd rather just do this where I'm in total control. Well, the problem with this is that you have to basically inject twice a week. So you're doing 100 and some odd injections a year, and it makes you feel like a superhero one day. The level goes really high really quickly, and then it drops. And the next day, you feel horrible. You want to kill someone. So this is where roid rage comes from, or these really bad reviews of how you feel on testosterone. This is how athletes abuse it, where they have this big up, down, up, down. This is not at all like the bioidentical, smooth, what you used to feel like. This is a roller coaster. Most of these are synthetic and controlling, so they actually increase your risk of heart attack, increase your risk of cancer, change your metabolics. So it's really a big roller coaster. Plus, it's not as safe as putting it under the skin. By the way, this idea is not new. Pellets have been around for some sort of hormonal treatment since 1939. We did them in women who had cervical cancer, who we did radical hysterectomies. We would put the hormone under the skin. What is newer now is quality. So the pellets have been highly studied in the last 20 years, how to make them bioidentical so your body doesn't think it's foreign, how to make them last even throughout. And there's many studies where they had volunteers and they're drawing blood every 3-4 days to really make sure that the product works. So that's the newer part, is the quality of it. But otherwise, the idea of putting something under the skin hormone is very, very old. So let's just switch gears for a second into peptides. So in the beauty industry, you guys probably understand this better than I, but the idea of a peptide is in a cream or a serum to make everything work better, to penetrate through the skin and actually enhance the results of whatever you're trying to do with the cream or the product. What is peptide exactly? The FDA defines it as 40 or fewer amino acids. This changed about 3-4 years ago. So there's several peptides that were on the market some 5 or 7 years ago that were amazing, like thymosin beta and thymosin alpha, that did incredible things, like basically reversed arthritis and did anti-inflammation. Those were actually taken off the market after this definition. So we're left with what is a peptide has a very narrow definition by the FDA. But there are still peptides out there to do lots of fun things. So we have peptides to make you look like you have a tan, even though you haven't been in the sun. We have peptides for better sex. We have peptides for anti-aging. We have peptides to gain muscle, lose fat, peptides to repair muscles and tendons, peptides for hair, and peptides for collagen growth. So the exciting one that everybody's talking about is a semaglutide. This has other names, Wegovy, Ozempic, Mounjaro. It's a once-a-week injection, a GLP-1 agonist. It was only FDA approved towards the end of 21, so it's not even really a year and a half old. But in the study results were incredible. On average, patients lost 35 pounds in a year. So that meant some people lost way more than that. And these are patients that had a lot of trouble losing weight first. So it's amazing because everybody's on it. You now hear about all these celebrities on it, and because it works so well. Basically, it works three ways. It's appetite suppressant, so you're not hungry. Insulin resistance, it actually makes your metabolism work better. And then the best part is it slows down stomach emptying. So if you go to a party, you can't eat that much. So the combination works for a lot of different people. I tried it from beginning of November to middle of December through the holidays, where I normally gain a couple pounds. I actually ended up losing 10. You just can't eat. And if you do eat, you get really sick. So if you read the side effects of this, you'll see lots of nausea. You'll see lots of horrible side effects. That's not the goal of treatment. That's sort of overdoing. What you want to do is take the medicine so it gives you the control, but then you still have to eat, right? You still have to exercise, you still have to take care of yourself. But it allows you that control because you're not hungry, you're not craving anything. It's amazing how strong it is on the brain. It gets rid of all cravings, even alcohol cravings. I have several alcoholics who completely stop drinking on it. And then if you do eat, it really teaches portion size, because the game is not so much how much you eat, but that the number of calories. So if you're eating bigger portions, even if they're good for you foods like salads, you can be eating way more than you should. This doesn't allow you to. So you get to the level of the medicine where you have control, and then basically you're just losing weight from there on out. The big thing is you have to remember to eat. So I do have a bunch of patients who say, I'm not hungry. This isn't working. I'm eating like 300-400 calories once a day and I'm not losing weight. Of course, you have to eat to lose weight. So if you're just fasting all the time, it's very, very hard to lose weight. But what this does is not overdoing, and it allows you to really get control and take good care of yourself. The last thing I hear a lot about is, oh my God, this is going to make me look ugly and old because I'm going to get Ozempic face. That is not true for most patients, because that's only true if you're overdoing. If you're not eating at all, or not eating protein and losing muscle, not taking care of yourself, you're overdoing the drug and not doing it the right way. What you need to do is take the medicine so you can take care of yourself. And then you eat protein, you eat vitamins, you just don't eat that much, and you end up getting to healthy weights. And of course, if you overdo and you're too skinny, you also have the same results. But if you have a physician who's like, monitoring with you and taking good care of you, we'll go over all of this to say, hey, this is not some magic injection and, oh, 35 pounds coming off. This is a tool you're going to use to take good care of yourself. We have another exciting peptide that's also an injection. It's growth hormone releasing hormone. FDA approved, bioidentical, totally safe. What it does, it convinces your brain to make your own growth hormone. So this is not HGH. If you say, hey, Kevin said something about growth hormone and I Googled it and I saw all this horrible stuff, this is definitely not HGH. HGH is what athletes abuse. It causes enlarged hearts. It causes cancer. It causes problems with the bowel. This is natural, convincing your brain to make your own growth hormone. So it increases muscle, lose fat, anti-aging. It thickens the skin. It's an amazing product. And it works. So I have a whole bunch of patients here. On the left is a gentleman who's in his 50s. He used this for just 2 months to get to his goal. And again, these are patients who are taking good care of themselves, but are using the medicine to be even healthier. On the right, that's a woman in 56 who used it for only a month. On the left, this is a gentleman, he's 55. He used it for 2 months. All of this are my patients. And on the right, this is a 34-year-old woman who had a baby, just couldn't lose that baby weight. Super motivated, and she did that result in just 1 month. So by adding in the growth hormone, patients have gotten amazing results without any surgery or crazy changes to their life. So we have even other products for peptide use. Again, most of these are injected. We have the for sex, the PT-141. This works in 80% of patients who Viagra doesn't work. Because sometimes it's not a physical thing that you're not unable to perform erectile dysfunction. It's a mental thing. Like you're thinking about your taxes, you're thinking about your relationship. Your brain is not allowing you to relax and have fun. So what PT-141 is, unlock the parts of the brain that have to do with desire and arousal. You inject about 3 hours before, and both male and female, it just unlocks fantasy and desire, and it really makes for a fun experience, whether there's an issue or not. And we also use oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. That's actually a sublingual under the tongue. If you're bonded with your partner, everything is better. We call that one world peace. I actually have a psychiatrist who uses it every day for work, just so she could feel connected to her patients. For the tan, it's called melanotan. The way it works is you do daily injections till you get the color that you want. Of course, this is not going to make you into somebody else. If you're a fair-skinned Irish, never been tan, you're not going to be tan from this. But if your skin tone changes and you know what you want to get, you can use it up to that. And then you just do it once or twice a week to maintain the color. And then the one I love is BPC-157. It's now a pill. There is injection ones, but the pill works very well. That repairs muscles and tendons. So I had a hamstring injury. I just ran a little too fast, went a little too nuts, and it just was nagging, like 2-3 weeks, just hurt. This actually repairs muscle and tendons. I took it for 3 weeks, haven't had it since, and that was a year and a half ago. So I'm going to try to predict for you the future of beauty. So if more and more people are on these products, what that means for you guys is it's going to change what your patients or your clients look like. There's going to be thicker skin, more oily. So people call it dewy or youthful. Is when you're younger, you have a lot more oil in your skin. The need for more volume. So if everybody's losing weight, they don't want the Ozempic face. Depending on how much they lose, they may need volume in their face. Hair loss, hair gain, because with hormones, you have both. You have sometimes you're losing more hair in a place you want to keep hair. Sometimes you're growing hair. So in your 20s, you know, maybe you had to shave your legs every week. And then in your 40s and 50s, now you're shaving every month. This, you'll go back to your 20s. You may have to shave more often. And then, of course, muscle and skin, everybody wants the toned skin and to see the muscles. And that's going to be easier and easier without surgery with these products. So the goal of this is to be your hormone person. So someone you can reach out to talk to about hormones. If you're in New York City, we can do the pellets. Otherwise, if you're in the US, we can do the peptides. My pharmacy makes them for you and ships them to you. And then we can just do remote visits to teach you about the peptides and the use. Thank you so much for the opportunity to give this talk.
Thank you so much. You know, there are so many of these. First of all, I love the future of beauty. Yes. Definitely.
Yes, no, I mean, I'm trying to predict, but it is going to be one where I said it at the conference because only a few people raised their hands. I think in 5 to 7 years, everybody is going to be on this.
Yeah. And many of the products you mentioned, like growth hormone, oxytocin, and things like that, I have heard a lot of these things in the biohacking community, which I've been you know, attending a lot of events and speaking to a lot of experts, let's say. And biohacking is all about optimizing your health using science. And thank you so much for this presentation. It inspired a lot of people actually in our event to pay more attention to the hormones, but also grow their business in directions of this using the peptides and hormones and things like that. Just one more question. You know, like when I was listening to your presentation, you mentioned synthetics and bioidentical hormones, right? Sometimes they use synthetic, sometimes bioidentical. How we can see which one is which one?
Yeah, so it's just educated consumer. Like you were talking about growth hormone. Growth hormone is not new, but the growth hormones that have been used for many, many years, especially by athletes, super dangerous. So that's the debate had always been. I mean, even Messi, the famous soccer player, used synthetic growth hormones. So we want to get away from the history of hormones when they were dangerous and get into how can we be healthy and feel good. And what's exciting now is we have much better products that are safe, that actually protect. So it's just about being an educated consumer, about asking, where does my hormone come from? Who's making it? What's the quality of the lab? What's the quality of the product? And that's the same thing in your industry. The chemicals and the products that you guys use in beauty is paramount to patient success.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you again a lot. And I don't want to keep you too much because you're about to start your practice, I understand. We appreciate your time. And thank you for offering your contact, because I think there is a lot of us want to continue the conversations. And
great. Well, I'm happy to anytime. Thank you again.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. I stop.